It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We want to go into the Word this morning. Psalm 16 and verse 1. David prayed, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds to understanding. Give our hearts a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants. Touch our hearts and our minds. Let us be open to your will and your purpose in our lives. Preserve us, O God, for in thee we put our trust. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen and amen. Before you're seated, bump your neighbor and tell him you look good in the house of the Lord today. And you may be seated. God bless you. The Hebrew word that David uses for preserve here in this verse is packed with lots of meaning. It's saying, in essence, if you look it up in the Hebrew, to put a hedge around me. Put a hedge around me, O God. A wall of protective thorns is what it means. Guard me and keep me. Observe my every move, all my comings and all my goings, and every transaction, every dealing with anybody and everybody. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. David fully believed that God preserves the righteous. And scripture says David was helped and preserved in all his ways. This blessed man declared in Psalms 121, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Thy shade upon thy right hand, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The same Hebrew word for preserve appears in this passage also, but again, David is speaking of God's divine hedge and the supernatural wall of protection that he is asking for, and he's assuring us that God keeps his eye on you everywhere you go. No matter what you're involved in or where you are at, God has his eye on you, and I want God's protection about me. I want his love and mercy to shine through me. I want people to know when I come into a room, there's something different about him. What is it? It's the presence of God. It's the power of God. It's that hedge of God that I pray that God would encamp about myself, my family, my church. Protect me and guide me. Indeed, the Lord is with us in all places, at work, at church, while we're shopping. Sometimes you need him with you while you're shopping. Hallelujah. He's with us in our cars. He's with us when you travel. He's with us. Yesterday, pulling out of Best Buy, I had some nice people that let me cut in and come across the lane there, and I was going into the outside lane right there by the, before you get to the Wendy's right there in that intersection, and this lady in a Tahoe comes flying up and screeches her brakes and just doing all the little motions and signs, and thank you. I just went on about my way. She didn't hit me. Thank you. Have a great day. This was her. Thank you, God, for your protection. Thank you, God, for, you don't have to get mad about every little thing. Let God take care of some of it. Now, there are times when I want to buzz them and just they get electrocuted and they just know, hey, I was pulling out. You should be more careful. Don't hit me. But God puts a hedge about us of protection. He puts a hedge about us of keeping us safe. He's assuring us that he's got his eyes on us. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're thinking right now. Hello, somebody. He knows where you are. You can be sitting here right now and be a million miles away. Guilty. Be honest. Guilty. The other day I was at work, and I was not at work. I was working, but I was at the Grand Canyon. I wanted to be at the Grand. They put on a song. I just wanted to be at the Grand Canyon. You can be present, but not present. God, put a hedge not just about us physically, but about our minds. Protect our minds. Protect our eye gate and our ear gate. The things we hear, the things we see, what we take in. What you put in will come back out. What you allow in will come back out. And God knows where we're at. And God is preserving us from evil. And He's protecting us. And He's keeping us safe from the things of life that would hurt us. He's protecting us from things that would distract us or get us off course. Maybe you've been worried in the recent weeks about the upcoming elections, and everybody's been talking, and we even had at Christmas, I heard a runoff here between Ms. Clinton and Mr. Trump, and I don't even know who won upstairs, but there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of what are we going to do, where's our country going, who are we? Maybe world events have got your attention, and you begin to see things, biblical prophecies are coming to pass every single day, the Word of God does not fail. It has not ever lied. It has been right on track. And maybe that has got you all messed up in your mind and worried, and you can't function because you're just overwhelmed by what's going on around us. But God's Word gives us sure promises. He gives us sure direction. Hear the words of the Lord. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. You don't need a gun to kill somebody. That right there hurts worse than a bullet. That right there hurts worse than a knife. I've been stabbed twice, I promise you. That right there hurts worse than a knife. Your words, deliver me. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Grant not, O Lord, their desire of the wicked as for the head of those that compass me about. Let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Pretty strong stuff. It's in Psalms 140, pretty strong stuff. Let them be cast into fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain this cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. And surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Psalms 140, 1 through 13. Preserve us, God. Protect us, God. Set a watch about us. At the beginning of this psalm, David calls on God to preserve him against violent men. Violent men. The word that David uses for preserve here is different than in the first text. It means to protect from what is concealed, hidden, or secret. Protect us. In many other languages, sometimes in English language too, your dialect and how you pronounce a word or say a word. I know in Chinese and Vietnamese and even Spanish, sometimes the way you say the word changes the meaning. And this one, it's not the hedge, but protect me from what's concealed, from what I can't see, from the secret things, from the things that come out and hit you that you're unaware of. Protect me, the hidden things. God is telling us, I've got every area of your life covered, even when you can't see it, even when you're not aware of what's going on or what's happening, you can surely rest in me. That's what he's saying. That's what he's trying to teach us. Do you believe you're going to be preserved of the Lord? Does anybody believe you're going to be preserved of the Lord? Does anybody want to be preserved of the Lord? I do. I want God's protection. I want God's direction. No, you don't understand everything that goes on or why. But God has a reason. Watch this. Watch this. Do you accept that he's protecting you? Anybody? Do you accept it? Do you accept that he's protecting you from schemes of proud, violent men, such as men that may be bent on destroying you or hurting you? I do. I believe that. They may devise poisonous things to say against you, but you don't have to fear any evil. As David prays in Psalms 140 and verse 10, let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Now you got to remember, this is Old Testament. He does say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So I don't want hot fire or coals to hurt nobody, but God protect me. God cover me. Cover my family, cover my church, cover my pastor, cover my friends and my relationship, cover my lost family members that maybe they've been exposed to truth, but they're not where they really need to be right now. Cover them. If you have trouble accepting God's desire to preserve you, I encourage you to read Psalms 37. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord and by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and his seed is blessed, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Did you hear that? They are preserved forever. The Lord will not leave him nor condemn him when he is judged. Hallelujah. That might not mean nothing to you, but that means something to me. Hallelujah. When the wicked are cut off, it goes on, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. I want peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter if you feel you've been wronged or if you've actually been. It doesn't matter. Just give it to God and let God preserve you. Let God protect you. Let God deal with everything around you. I told a minister that pastors within 50 square miles of here, there will be a day that I will stand before God in judgment. And I pray that you're standing right beside me, because the truth will come out. I trust in God. I give it all to God. Even Job in his agony, it's repetitious, line upon line, precept upon precept. Over and over in the Bible, Job in all of his agony testified of God's preserving power. His preserving power. We are preserved for a purpose. And that's what I'm talking about. Preserved for a purpose. I have never known any person that I have met who in my life that has ever faced and dealt with what Job dealt with. This man lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost his health. He lost his good name. But he was preserved for a purpose. You could argue with such a battered man's experience. Who could even stand up? Think of your problems. Think of what you're going through. And then look at Job. Life ain't too bad for any of us, is it? It's not quite as rough as it might seem. Yet Job addressed God as thou preserver of men in Job 7 and verse 20. Thou preserver of men. Time after time, our God has proved himself a preserver to his people. Yet, for what purpose? Why? Why is the Lord so intent on preserving us? We find a clue in Moses' words in Deuteronomy 6 and 24. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Moses said, God gave them the commandments for one reason, to preserve and to keep them. But for what? For the same reason God wants to save and protect you and I. For the exact same reason. Think of all the ways God preserved his chosen people, Israel. He protected them from the 10 plagues of Egypt. Hallelujah. I wouldn't want to go through any of those plagues. He delivered them from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, swallowing up Pharaoh and the army, killing all their enemy. He healed them from deadly snake bites in the desert. Anybody like snakes? Don't answer that. I don't like snakes. I'm just telling you. I don't like them. I don't care if they're a garden snake. I don't care if they have a round eye or down. I don't like them. If I can get rid of them, they're going to go bye-bye. And if not, I'm going bye-bye. I don't like snakes. When I was about 13 years old, I had a snake experience. It crawled over my lap out of the back seat of a one-ton truck I was sitting in. Didn't even know. I felt the little flop on my leg, and I looked down, and there is a snake, a water moccasin, crawled over my leg from the back. Yeah, it ain't fun. I don't like snakes. But he healed them from the deadly snake bites of the desert. And the people testified of God's preserving power to their children and to their grandchildren. The Lord delivered us from all of our enemies. He gave us food. He gave us water. And he kept our clothes from wearing out. Can you imagine having clothes for 40 years? Whew. Thank God for deodorant. Thank God for soap. 40 years. He preserved Israel through everything. But is that all there is to Israel's testimony? Is that all they could talk about? Is that everything that there was? Were these people preserved and protected just to end up dying in the wilderness? Were God's deliverances meant only to keep them safe and well-fed throughout their lives? Surely there had to be a reason God preserved them. Israel was preserved to fulfill God's plan for their lives. Moses stated in Deuteronomy 6 and 23, he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Moses was telling Israel, look at all the miraculous ways God has brought you out of bondage. What do you think that was all about? Why do you think he chose you and marked you as a special people from the foundation of the world? Why? Why did he deliver you from slavery? Why did he bless you when you deserved to be abandoned? You didn't deserve this. He didn't do it just so you could say, God supplied all my needs. No. He didn't do it so you could sit around the campfire and tell your grandchildren stories of past miracles. No. Those are all wonderful things, but they're not the limit of God's plan for you. Hear me this morning. That's not the limit of God's plan for you. I believe every Christian, man, woman, and child who has walked with the Lord for a while could write a book of the wilderness he or she has been through. Has anybody been through anything in here? Can anybody testify of the goodness of God? Has God delivered anybody from anything? Have you made it through some trials that you didn't know what to do or how to do, but God saw you through? He preserved you for a purpose. As you look back at those things, ask yourself, what does all this mean? Why did God preserve me? Why am I not a drug addict or an alcoholic? Why am I not living in the street out of my senses and barely alive? And why do I have God's peace instead? And why has the Lord been so good to me? You ever thought about it? the Lord preserved the Israelites and put a wall around them for a specific purpose, to bring them into a place of usefulness. Of usefulness. He was leading them to the promised land, a place of destiny where they could lie down at night knowing their battles counted for something, knowing that they had accomplished something. God had already sworn to judge the wicked nations living in Canaan. And when he preserved Israel, it was to prepare them for warfare with those nations. Even before Israel entered Canaan, God promised to send plagues of hornets ahead of them. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. Exodus 23 and 28. God wanted every Israelite to know you were preserved all these years to be warriors in a time of crisis. You're not just a saint of God. You're a Holy Ghost filled saint of God. You are a warrior carrying the cross of salvation, spreading the gospel, I pray, to everybody you come into contact with. There is a battle to be fought. There is a victory to be had. And God is preparing you to be warriors in times of crisis. You were meant to live as victors and to die fulfilled. I have saved you, Israel, to be useful, winning great battles to the very end. Jesus was preserved for a purpose. He was preserved for a purpose. Isaiah prophesied that Christ would be despised and threatened, but there was a purpose behind it all. Isaiah 49 and verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. We know from the Gospels that God's almighty preserving spirit watched over Christ every day of his life. Yes, he was God, but he was robed in flesh. He felt what you felt. He heard things you've heard. He dealt with the temptation that you and I face, but he was protected and he was delivered time after time. He was able to withstand. He was able to conquer ground and move forward. Think of how often religious leaders tried to kill Jesus. They once took him to a hilltop to throw him over a cliff, but the Spirit intervened. Likewise, Satan tried to tempt him and tried to get him to throw himself into off the temple precipice. But the Spirit again preserved Christ and gave him strength to withstand and to resist temptation. It is written. It is written. The Word of God works. The things of God work. Hear me this morning. I know it's adult Sunday school, but somebody, you have been preserved for a purpose. What you're going through is making you into the person you're supposed to be, the man or woman you are supposed to be, not just for right now, but for the future. Hear me today. It was all for a purpose. Isaiah adds, chapter 49, verse 9, thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. Why? 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 So he could reach us in darkness. So he could reach you at your darkest hour. Show yourself. Show yourself. Show who you really are. So he could show you the way back from the lost place that you're in. All of Christ's deliverances were meant for this very purpose, to break the power of Satan, to set people free, to deliver that person that is in bondage and bring light into darkness by the Spirit's preserving power. Jesus accomplished all of these things. Every one of them he accomplished. And when those words come out, it is finished. Oh, hallelujah. There is a way. There is a plan. There is some things you can do to make it. This life is just a hand's breadth. This life is just a moment. We're just passing through. I encourage you, get in the Word. The Word works. Get your family in the Word. Let go of all the hurt, all the failure, all the disappointments that people might hand you. Let it go. God is preserving you for a purpose. You have a divine purpose. Hear me today. You have a purpose. You're not too old to fulfill your purpose. You're not too young to fulfill your purpose. You haven't done enough bad that you're not good enough now to fulfill your purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Joseph is one of the most notable examples of a man preserved for a purpose. He had a vision that his life would be used mightily by God, but that vision seemed like a pipe dream after his jealous brother sold him into slavery. And the following years of Joseph's life were filled with hardship and injustice. Then he seemed to get back on his feet. He was falsely accused at this point, sent to prison. Yet all this time, God was watching over his life. And finally, after years of turmoil, he ends up serving in Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh eventually appointed him ruler over all of Egypt. It was during this time of great blessing and fulfillment that Joseph came face to face with his brothers again. A famine had struck the land. You know the story. They'd come to Egypt seeking grain, and when Joseph sees them, he weeps aloud, the Bible says. And Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt, to slavery. Wow. Still love your brother? Still love you? They might sell your hide into slavery. How about that? Ever been called the black sheep of your family? Oh, they sold Joseph. They got rid of him. He died, Daddy. Joseph might have wanted revenge on his brothers. He might have wanted to get even with them, but listen to his words. Be not grieved nor angry for yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. There it is again. To preserve life. You are preserved for a purpose. Joseph was saying, even though you did me wrong, I had to go through all of this. The Lord was preparing me to save you. That's why and how Jesus worked to save a remnant. Indeed, every generation, the Lord raises up a Joseph company, if you will. A Joseph company. Any Josephs in the house? Anybody been lied about with your family? Cheated on? Rejected? Not nobody in here has family trouble. Now, anybody have a lying problem up in here this morning? We all have family issues. We all have things we've dealt with. The Joseph company, if you will, today. He takes these devoted servants through years of trouble and trials to prove and to strengthen their faith. And he delivers them from many snares. But the Joseph company is tested in ways that few other experience. They face tormenting doubts and pressing fears and fierce temptations, and perhaps most painfully of all, they're tried by God's word. What does this mean? Scripture says it's what Joseph endured. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. How was Joseph tried by God's word? He knew all through his suffering that he was a righteous man. He knew he had done nothing wrong. He knew he had a heart for God. He was a servant of God, and that only made his trials more baffling and more frustrating for them. He must have thought, Lord, all these troubles don't make sense. They don't match up with your word to me. You said I would be mighty. You said I would be used by you, but here I am in chains. Lord, it goes against everything I've ever heard. God, why am I here? Joseph's greatest test wasn't being betrayed by his brothers. It wasn't being unjustly imprisoned. It wasn't being forgotten by his fellow prisoners whom he helped. No, by far, Joseph's worst trial was his misunderstanding of what God was doing with him and by him. It was much larger than Joseph. Hear me today. It was bigger than Joseph. Your problem, your situation, your circumstance, it's bigger than you. Only years later, when his brothers came back on the scene, did Joseph get a full glimpse of God's purpose. And he, as he begins to look back over his journey, he realized, I see now the Lord was in it all. And that makes everything I suffered, every painful, lonely moment worth it. Joseph made peace with his past. You've got to make peace with your past because he saw God's hand in it. The Lord also has a Joseph company today. There are Josephs sitting among us today. You've been unjustly accused. You've been put through stuff. You don't understand why, but God has a purpose. God has a purpose and a plan. All you got to do is trust in him and keep knowing he's going to preserve you because you have a purpose. Many people's lives are filled with trouble on all sides. They don't understand their trials. Like Joseph, they plead, Lord, why is this happening? It doesn't make sense to me. All I've ever wanted is to serve you. You promised my life would be used for your glory. And I've been fasting and I've been praying and I've been going to church faithful. I've been wanting more of you and this can't be your will for me. But just like Joseph, many in God's holy company today are in irons, imprisoned in what seems like hopeless situations. They're being sorely tempted and testing, and their faith seems not to work, and they get the feeling that God's promises don't work for them. Worst of all, the word they so love seems to be trying their very souls, and painfully these servants may stay in irons until the appointed time when God calls them forth. But for now, they utter Joseph's own cry, Genesis 40 and 14, think on me and show kindness, God. I pray thee and bring me out of this house. I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. And they're crying all around us. I'm chained in here in this awful dungeon of despair. Don't forget about me. God, show me mercy and deliver me from this trouble. I only want to serve you. I only want to be a living sacrifice. And if you've never been in that position and you've never had to cry those prayers, just hold on. Because the Bible talks about we've all got to be tempered in the fire and tried by fire. Otherwise, you've never proved yourself. Joseph saw that God had preserved him for a purpose. Joseph tells his brothers, God sent me before you to preserve you, posterity and earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it's not you that sent me hither, but God. And he got that revelation, finally. It wasn't you. It wasn't because of you. It was because of God. Maybe God is putting you through some stuff right now that you don't understand, but he's got a purpose. And you're being preserved for a purpose. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph could look back over his years finally of suffering and testify, God sent me on this journey. God changed this up a little bit. And I don't understand why, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. He had a purpose in taking me through all these hardships. I see now that everything I've endured has led up to this moment and this time. What an incredible revelation for Joseph. Yet, what's the lessons here for God's people today? Is it this? Our Lord has preserved us in the past. He will preserve us in the days ahead. And most important of all, he has an eternal purpose behind all of it. You can live for God. You can stay in right relationship with God. Understand you're going through things that you don't think are fair or right, but God has a purpose. God has a plan. And one day all things will be justified. One day it will all come out. One day the tables will be turned and you will have those brothers and those ones who put you down stand before you. You're going to be wise like Joseph and say, hey, God had a purpose for this. Look back at your life from the day Christ came in and changed you. I'm sure many here could write books of the experiences you've been through. I read a very interesting story, Brother Steve Belshi's father, telling about his life. Right after he passed, I got a copy of it. Amazing. The things they lived through. The things they experienced. You begin to compare with other people around you, and you begin to realize we're blessed. We went and saw a choir the other day at Gateway, and a little, I guess from Uganda or somewhere, a little children's choir. And these children are rescued from homes that you wouldn't want to live in. You wouldn't send your worst enemy there. Mamas and daddies dying with AIDS and disease and no food and nothing. But these few kids have been saved and sponsored, and they begin to sing, and the kids are singing the song Yesterday. And it just grabs your heart, and you realize how blessed we are. You are preserved for a purpose. We've experienced loss. We've experienced gain. We've experienced hurt and turmoil. But you're preserved for a purpose. Take a look at the current condition of our nation and the world, and what do you see? I see Christ's prophecies being fulfilled. Upon the earth, distress of nations, Luke 21. With perplexity, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Paul also speaks of this time in 1 Thessalonians, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Paul is describing a people who live smugly and securely and boasting. Can I testify to somebody today? You better hold on to the things of God, because you're going to go through storms and you're going to go through hurtful times and you're going to be betrayed and left out. But through it all, God will stick by you. Through it all, He's going to make a way for you. You might have to go to prison like Joseph. You might get sold into slavery or kicked out. But God will preserve you and bring you to your fulfilled and appointed time. We've got to make Joseph's declaration to the world. God sent me before you to save your lives by a great deliverance. Just like Esther was in the Bible, you're not here by chance. God has a purpose for you, and He is preserving you. Lord, touch us today. Bless our minds and our hearts. Touch every family represented here. You know what we're going through. You know what we're facing. We're asking you right now to put a hedge about us. Preserve us, oh God. We put our trust in you completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take about a 12-minute break. We'll come back and have morning worship. God bless you. Greet somebody.